Thank you for being here this evening. If you'll take your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read some verses there in a little bit. You know, of thinking about all of the things that has taken place over the past week, and then the past couple months ago with the devastation of the floods in North Carolina, and then the fires that was raging in California. In those two aspects, the floods, the hurricane in Florida, people lost their lives. People lost their lives in California. And then we had the two air disasters that just happened here recently, the helicopter crashing into the jet in Washington, D.C., and then the air ambulance that crashed in Pennsylvania. Now, whenever these types of disasters occur, there's always the sad human interest stories in which people died because they delayed. Now, not those in the aircrafts, because they were just simply on their way home, but yet disaster struck. It's infinitely more sad to consider that the same thing happens to people on a spiritual level. When we delay in obedience, there's a possibility that we lose our souls. This evening, this lesson, I hope, is to cause us to think hard about the choices that we make so that we do not neglect such a great salvation that God has provided for us. You know, the warnings have been sounded. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 that Brother Mike read here just a moment ago, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We all know and understand what happens when we neglect things. We talked about it in class a little bit this morning. If our roof is leaking, we repair it. We fix it. We don't neglect it. Because the more that it's neglected, the greater the damage is done. And the same is true with each and every one of us in our spiritual life. If we tend to neglect so great a salvation, what will the reward be? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And then we read in John chapter 6 and verse 68, then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, many times people, they're searching, they're looking, but they're looking in all the wrong places. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 12, we read this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Brothers and sisters, the warning has been given. How shall we escape if we neglect God's salvation? There's no excuse for us if we are caught unprepared. You know, these people that lost their lives in the floods and in the hurricane and in the fires of California, they were caught unprepared. especially in North Carolina. Who would have thought that a hurricane in Florida would devastate the eastern part of North Carolina? Stop and think about this. How many sermons have we listened to concerning heaven? How many sermons have we listened to concerning hell? How many sermons have we listened to concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ? In fact, I believe, if I remember correctly, I done one of those just a few weeks ago. How many Bibles have we owned? How many Bible classes have we attended? If we don't know by now that there is danger in delay, if we don't know by now that there is danger in not living faithful, then what are we doing? What are we doing? The danger of neglect is real. We need to protect ourselves from a hard heart. You know, and I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again. It's easier to believe a lie that you've heard 1,000 times than the truth that you've heard once. The idea here is if we continually sin, then we become callous to that sin. Before too long, we don't really see it as sin. Our hearts become hard, which causes us to keep on sinning because our conscience is not pricked. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. And if we're not careful, we'll be lost. Will we be caught unprepared? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19. Who being past filling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. That's what happened when we fail to keep a check on our spirituality. We become unclean with greediness. We become unclean in sinfulness. There's a danger of neglect. There's a danger of a hard heart. But what we need to understand is that our death may be moments away. Do you truly think that those people in that jet in D.C. and those three in the helicopter, do you think that they thought that when they got up that morning, that by 8 or 9 o'clock that night, they would be dead? Death is certain. We don't know when death comes. It may come quickly, just like those who lost their lives in those two air disasters. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 29, as it is appointed unto men once to die, then comes the judgment. Even those in the floods in North Carolina that lost their lives in the fires in California, Do you believe that those people, when they got up that morning, believe that they will be gone that afternoon or that evening? We don't know. We don't know when our life is going to end. You know, I'm not trying to be morbid or anything to that, but I want us to understand that we need to always be prepared, because Christ is going to come either before we pass from this life or sometime in the future. We need to prepare. How many people, again, will die today having no idea that when they woke up that this would be the last day that they have on this earth? Jesus is going to return. And it's something that we can prepare for now while we are still able. Take your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 25. I want to read starting in verse 1. Most of you probably have read these verses many times, but let's read them again. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know ye not." You know, here we have the picture of these 10 virgins, 5 of them wise, 5 of them foolish. 5 of them prepared themselves, and 5 did not. And when a call came out that the bridegroom cometh, those that were prepared was able to go and meet the bridegroom. But the others, the door was shut. While we are still living, because we don't have any clue the moment of our death when it may come, should we not make sure that we prepare now? So what are some of the reasons for neglect? The deceitfulness of sin, number one. Deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Brothers and sisters, we cannot go out and enjoy sin for a season and expect to stand right before God. Moses, when he realized that being the Pharaoh's son or daughter's son was not in his best interest spiritually, he refused to live in the sinful life that he'd been living in. Many times, some of the reasons for neglect is because, you know, they're just too busy. Too busy for God. Too busy for church. Too busy to worry about it. I got things to do. We looked at this morning in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. And then said he unto him, a certain man had a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go needs go and see it, I pray thee, that have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Are we literally too busy to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord or our death, so that when we do die, we can stand before the judgment seat pure? Too many times people think that they have plenty of time. The deceitfulness of sin, too busy, think they have plenty of time. The sad thing is this air disaster in Washington, D.C., and even the one in Pennsylvania, there were many young people that lost their lives. Their whole life was ahead of them, but not anymore. I'm not trying to make light of the pain and the anguish the families feel at the loss of their loved ones. But the point is, every one of those young people probably thought they had plenty of time because they were young. But they died horrible deaths. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Well, we don't know if he ever did. But is that our same kind of attitude? Felix probably thought he had plenty of time. James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. James telling us right here that we don't have a whole lot of time. And then we read in Luke chapter 12, verses 18 through 20. And he said, this will I do. And you all have read these before. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be that thou hast provided? Many fall into believing that they have plenty of time. I don't know about y'all, but most of my life is behind me. I know I don't have that many more years. Yeah, right. I may be around for another 10, 15, if I'm lucky, maybe 20 years. But then again, I may not be here tomorrow. And each one of you could say the same thing. You may have another 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but you may not have another day. Many fall into believing that, well, you know, I've been a faithful Christian all my life. I've studied all my life, but I'm old now, so, you know, I don't have to. Remember what this guy here done? I've gained it all, so it's time for me to take it easy. That should not be how we look at our Christian life. How many of you remember the song, "Why Not, Why Not, Why Not Come to Him Now?" We may not be here tomorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Not tomorrow. Not next week, but now, today. There is danger in delay. Brothers and sisters, let us not delay our life in God, in Christ, any longer. This evening, if you're here and in need of prayer, for whatever the reason may be, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?